Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gavaza, and we are back with another show for this week. And we're hoping that today we're going to be striking more of a positive tone. Over the last couple of weeks, we have been, sort of more sober-minded. A lot of somber stories coming out with negative predictions for the economy, businesses going into distress. But for today, we're hoping that we're going to be getting some stories of good things that are happening, sort of spurred on by the crisis. And to help us with this, we're joined by Alison Collier, who is the Managing Director for Endeavor South Africa, which is a management consulting group offering services to small to medium businesses. Alison, how are you?
Mdiwa, very well. And thanks so much for having me on the show. It's great to be here.
Now, my understanding of Endeavor, as we said just now, you guys are offering management consulting services to businesses, small to medium. I understand the average size of the businesses that you guys offer services to is about 200 million rand. Can you just give us a little bit of color just around what Endeavor is and what you guys are actually doing?
Sure, absolutely. So Endeavor, it's a global organization based out of the US, and the underlying belief of Endeavor is that medium-sized businesses and medium-sized entrepreneurs are the ones that really drive the overall job creation and economics and revenue growth of a country. So Endeavor was founded really by entrepreneurs coming from emerging markets about 20 years ago, with looking at this, the gap in the market, saying it shouldn't be so difficult for these medium-sized, really successful, high-impact entrepreneurs that are in emerging markets to extend and scale their business internationally and specifically into the very large developed market like the US and Europe. So what Endeavor is here to do, it's here to support medium-sized entrepreneurs that are high-impact to really accelerate their scaling. We do that through three different ways: through providing these entrepreneurs through access to markets, through access to capital, and also talent. And when you ask the question, like, how do we do that? Endeavor's got the most phenomenal global network of mentors. So we've probably got about 100-150 mentors here in South Africa. We're present in 34 markets, so we've got a similar mentor base as sitting in the other markets internationally. And these mentors are of an exceptionally high caliber. So, for example, in South Africa, our board was initially started here in South Africa by the likes of Adrian Gore, Paul Harris, Isaac Shangwe, and David Frankel, names I'm sure all of you are familiar with. And now the chairman of the board is Herman Bosman, who's the CEO of RMI, Gordon Little, the CEO of F&B Commercial Bank, Barry Swartzberg from Discovery, as well as Bukhani from Accenture, Ajen from EY, and a number of very successful entrepreneurs, including Andreas Kambistas, Zaki from Innovent, Candice Roberts, and others. So it's really a phenomenal set of mentors that you as an entrepreneur get access to on a pro bono basis. These entrepreneurs or business leaders who've been there and done it are very keen to help the upcoming generation of entrepreneurs and leaders, and they also believe and see that medium-sized entrepreneurs really drive the overall growth of an economy through job creation and revenue growth, and so are fully committed to assisting and supporting this this initiative. So it's Endeavor really provides you with a trusted network of mentors, both business leaders and entrepreneurs, locally here in South Africa and internationally, who can really share advice, give you context, give you access to market. And then haven't really gone into the capital side, but we've got a global capital fund, Catalyst, and we're just closing its third fund. It's sitting at the target's $120 million for our third fund. That's managed out of San Francisco. And we connected with the leading VCs globally through that Catalyst fund. So the likes of Sequoia, Andreessen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just a phenomenal network, both for mentors, investors, and for your capital.
And I guess with such a wide network, especially a global one, and deep roots in South Africa, what type of conversations have you seen taking place amongst the businesses that you support? What has been the impact of COVID-19, I guess, on them? And what is Endeavor actually doing to maybe assist or to support? What type of advice, what type of conversations are you guys having with business owners at the moment?
Sure. So perhaps just before going into what type of advice, let me explain the portfolio of entrepreneurs that we work with today to put that advice into context. So today we work with 26 entrepreneurs actively, and another 50 that are in our pipeline. And those 26, like you mentioned in the upfront in the call, they're sitting at around 200 million rand in average revenue, but they moved, some of them are 50 million, some of them are above 750 million rand of revenue. And those businesses for the past 2 years have been growing their headcount at 29% per year. And for the last 2 years, their revenue growth has been growing at 27% a year. So they've been adding a phenomenal amount of jobs, close to 5,000 over the past 2 years. And then on the revenue side, close to 2 billion in revenue. So with that, I also wanted to share that 80% of these businesses are playing are tech-based businesses are playing in the tech space. So I would say it's a mix between fintech businesses, a lot of SaaS businesses, and then also, you know, we've got a mix of some smart city businesses where they're looking at enhanced transport but enabled through tech, ed tech businesses, and health tech businesses. Plus, we have some consumer and agri-tech businesses we work with. So with that, what are the conversations we're having with them? So the first was honestly, just, you know, we all needed to move to remote working. A few of the businesses that we were working with, for example, Clickatel, they're absolutely a global organization, as is GoOne. So for them, the remote working was par for the course. And I sort of think that's also the power of the Endeavor Network. Is with having so many really successful entrepreneurs in the network, there's always someone who can, you know, share the guidelines, for example, on remote working. So first off, it was remote working. How do you manage your and conserve your cash? What are the right approaches to reorganize your growth plans for the year? And then starting to look at your team. We've been in a very fortunate position here in South Africa, given the portfolios we work with are all effectively tech disruptors, that we've only seen really two or three of the businesses that have been in a position where they haven't been able to generate revenue through this period. So majority of them are trading, I wouldn't say as per normal because it's very stressed conditions. But what's been phenomenal to see is certain other businesses like OneCart, others like Spark Schools, Ozo, Merchant Capital, just to name a few, have really stepped up and extended new offerings to the market, given this the social distancing that's happening, and therefore the increased need for, you know, home deliveries of shopping for OneCart or Spark Schools. They've changed their entire education program to be online, plus a whole lot of other benefits that they are giving through to their learners. Then for Merchant Capital, they extend credit to a number of traders in South Africa, and what they've done is they gave payment holidays to those customers that needed it. And then for the essential service providers, adjusted the offering so they had sufficient working capital to manage through this crisis. So those are just, I want to say, a few examples. But for me, what the most positive learning to see through this period is how the entrepreneurs worked as much as possible together to assist others. So where they saw a team that was had workers that weren't being utilized, people would work as hard as possible to see if those excess team members could be absorbed or used in their team. And so OneCart partnered with Flex Club and a few other entrepreneurs in the group Aura to be able to ramp up their service. And that similar pattern was seen amongst a lot of the entrepreneurs that we've worked with. And it's just a wonderful way of working when teams are rather thinking about the broader impact on the community and social impact rather than you know, merely looking at their own business. And it's a wonderful way that we've seen the teams work over the past 6 weeks.
And then I guess on that front, what type of changes have you seen, the businesses in your network being able to make during this time? And could you perhaps give us a bit more color? You had already started telling us some of the examples around Spark Schools, for example, that has sort of shifted their curriculum, to online. What type of changes are you seeing? And one of the things that I'm interested to also hear about is, I guess, any type of collaboration in the space, because it seems that COVID-19 has really brought industry players together, whether it's lobbying against the government or coming up with new business models. What type of collaboration have you seen going on that front?
So maybe I can start with a point on collaboration and really talking about between business and government. And again, it's sort of building on the same sentiment that I shared a moment ago. I think the Business for South Africa initiative that was pulled together by corporates in South Africa to support government and partner with government has been phenomenal. And it's been wonderful to see how many senior leaders have volunteered their services across the different skill sets to work with government as proactively as possible to, because this is a crisis that no one has seen this before. So we're all learning as we're going. And to see that number of volunteers to proactively step up and partner with government to come up with the best solution and learn as we go, it's really been remarkable. And Endeavour's been very fortunate to be able to work on the SME work stream within that Business for South Africa group. And I want to say it's incredible to see the willingness from all the parties to work together to come up with the best solution possible. That being said, obviously we only have a finite set of funding and money available from government and also from the public sector, so we'd always like to do more. But just the sentiment, it's really incredible to see how business and government are partnering to solve this. And I think that's the only way that this is really we're going to get through this as best as possible. But then coming on to some practical examples within the entrepreneurial set and what we've seen with the businesses that we work with, whether they're Endeavour entrepreneurs or in our pipeline, and how they're managing through this crisis. I mean, I've shared about Spark Schools shifting to online learning. OneCart have ramped up their teams fivefold, to meet the increased demand for online shopping and home delivery service. And how they've done that is what I was expressing earlier, they've partnered with other businesses where they've got idle staff due to lockdown. So teams they're working with are Flex Club, restaurants, hotels. They've partnered with Oro, who's also got a wonderful platform in the security space. Then an additional business I wanted to call out, it's just pulled forward a new product line, is Sweep South. And so Sweep South has done phenomenally well, and within the last 4 or 5 weeks, they've launched a new service offering, which is cleaning solutions for businesses and corporates. Previously, I think all of you are aware, they were only focusing on private household. And now it's, with the COVID-19 crisis, all of the businesses need to be sanitized. And whenever there's an individual who gets sick in that building, there needs to be a deep clean that happens. And Sweep South has seen this opportunity. They also don't know when their Sweep Stars are going to be able to get back to work into residential properties, and so have refocused their efforts and launched towards the commercials and corporates. And it's an enormous shift, and then that team has done phenomenally well to be able to change their offering in such a short space of time. Something else that I want to also call out was iExperience and Go Metro. So iExperience is a business that brings US interns or university students during their summer program, so June, July, through to South Africa and a number of other international locations for both internship and then some classroom learning. And given the COVID crisis and no travel, that team has managed to switch the entire program to be online. And what's been remarkable is they've got 75% of the students that signed up have signed up for the online version rather than traveling through to each of the destinations. I want to say that's an enormous, enormous change in service offering and something they've done very quickly. And the last one is Go Metro. And GoMetro, why I want to speak about it, what GoMetro is their platform in the transport space. And one of the biggest issues we're going to struggle with is how to safely transport staff from the informal, you know, townships and more of the informal areas in the country through to around the cities to their place of work. And what GoMetro has done is they've mapped out the public transport networks, including all of the taxis. They've also pulled in all of the spare capacity that's sitting with the tour buses and the travel businesses that no longer, you know, have got customers. And so through that, they've been able to create this platform where they're able to effectively ensure the safe travel of staff from their place of residence through to their office space. They've been doing this very successfully for the hospitals during the last 6 and 7 weeks, and now they're extending their service to corporates as well as to all SMEs to offer this service to everyone, and also towards our government to assist with the ensuring the safety of people as they're traveling to and from work, because that's going to be very important to reduce the spread of the virus.
Now, it definitely does sound like there've been, you know, some big shifts, and, you know, the businesses that you're highlighting are making some, I'll call them fundamental changes. You know, when you think about a company like Sweep South, you typically think of them as having the service where people, you know, through the app you come, you know, you have someone coming to clean your house, everything is done, the payments, the reviews, you do everything on the app, etc. But, you know, with social distancing, you know, that sort of shift, that pivot to then servicing corporates that are now going to be looking at trying to provide the most hygienic environment for their employees, for their staff, especially in this phased reopening of the economy, definitely makes sense on that end. But one of the things I just want to follow up on is these changes that you're seeing in the market, especially given, you know, your experience in helping people, you know, develop and craft their business models. How many of these shifts do you think of as being sort of a temporary ad hoc adaptation to what's going on right now versus something that would be a proper fundamental shift where you can say from this point onwards, it's likely that this is how these businesses will just be running this way and that the old business model is likely just fallen away?
No, I mean, it's a great question, and there for sure are some opportunistic revenue streams that businesses are going after now in the short term. But that being said, the business models and the opportunities that I've spoken about earlier on this call, and also what we're seeing across the other businesses in the portfolio that we work with, specifically those that are tech-based businesses, they're shifts that will stay. And why do I say that? I think you've been hearing this from many different sources, but with us all being forced to work remotely, we've got very used to technology, and suddenly we're comfortable to work remotely and comfortable to use all these different digital and tech tools that have been there, but we just have preferred face-to-face or more in-person contact. And that's just been the way that business has been done. Now with us being forced to work remotely, people have made the change and they've realized that actually they can be enormously more productive in a number of different spaces without needing to be face-to-face. Face-to-face, you will need to have that always. There will always be some face-to-face. But that being said, the remote working has brought about and enabled a huge amount of increased productivity. And I mean, I just think in the medium term, the opportunities that sit for a country like South Africa and the other emerging markets, if you just think through all of the services that are offered, so, you know, copywriters, teachers, people in marketing, it could be, you know, any service, you name it, the price of those services in the developed markets is far higher than what they are here in South Africa. And suddenly this remote working, it doesn't matter if you're a teacher sitting in Cape Town and you're teaching a school that's based in the UK or the US, if they're English and you understand the curriculum, you're going to be as close to those students as you would be if you were a teacher that was based in the UK. And I'm just using that as an example to just share the point that there is a huge amount of opportunity that sits with us being able to work remotely and you know, the customers being comfortable with remote working. So I think it definitely is, it's been a very, the crisis is a very uncomfortable, and it's going to be, this year is going to be a very difficult year with recession and the GDP contracting. But that being said, the forced change and our accelerated shift to work digitally, it's an amazing opportunity that has given us, like as South Africa, our country, specifically because the cost of services here and the cost of labor and professionals is significantly lower than in developed markets. And there's a big opportunity that then offers us.
As we end off the discussion, one of the things that I think our listeners would be, you know, quite keen to hear your take on is, I guess, the outlook for the economy in South Africa. But as you are, you know, addressing that, perhaps you could also, you know, give us your thoughts, especially just from a management consulting point of view, just of whether it's stimulus by the government or whether it's private sector support of, you know, businesses given this tough time. What are your thoughts just around, I guess, the support that's being given to businesses? Is it at that point where the financing that's being given in whatever regard is something that's going to be enough to carry businesses forward? Or do you sort of see that this is a moment where businesses just fundamentally need to rethink how they operate, because some of these funds won't be there forever?
So, I mean, it's, all I can say is great question. And I think that's the million-dollar question that's on everyone's mind in South Africa and other markets globally. But I suppose just the summary is, in South Africa, we don't have the level of government funding that exists in many of the other markets. So we need to be much more nimble and effective in how we utilize those funds, as well as how we quickly move back to a place where we enable, you know, everyone in our economy to be productive, to work, and that just means get some income so you can pay for your really basic needs. The short answer, there isn't enough money that we have here in South Africa between the government and private sector to live on food parcels and handouts. We've got 29% unemployment before we went into this crisis. There's going to be a significant increase in the number of job losses. And unfortunately, those job losses, they'll be spanning both the formal markets and the informal markets. And because the informal markets are more cash constrained, the job losses in the informal markets will be significantly higher than the formal markets. Which is really heartbreaking, because that's where we in South Africa are working so hard to increase the level of income. So for me, the sooner that we can get, you know, people specifically in the informal markets back to be a position that they can be productive and can be working again, then that will speed up the recovery for and reduce the recession that we are facing. It will hit the formal market too, for sure, but the formal market has got deeper pockets than the informal markets, and so the impact won't be as harsh. And I think it's, you know, the onus is on all of us as individuals and as business owners to really ensure that we, when we go back to work, that we apply the health and safety measures rigorously. And we protect the older members of our staff in our teams. And they, you know, those individuals actually stay working remotely. They don't come back to work. And then those of us that are healthy and able, we are productive. We generate income, and then we can look after those members of our society that aren't able to come to work. And we can afford the grants and the different schemes that we need to hand out to a large portion of our country, because that 29% unemployment is going to grow, and the numbers just that we've been working with at Business for South Africa together with the Treasury is at lockdown level four, the numbers could be as high as 5 million more individuals lose their jobs, 2 million of that in the formal market and 3 million in the informal market. But if we're able to work together and work remotely and apply social distancing, enable businesses to get back to work, then those job losses will be significantly reduced, closer to the 1 to 2 million mark spread across the formal and informal sectors. And that will result in clearly the level of social impact will be significantly diminished with increasing the amount of income that goes to the hands of people in the informal market, which is where we need it most. And we're already seeing that the informal market is going back to work, not because they want to disrespect the law, but because they're being forced to, because they don't have cash for their basic needs, for their rents, for their electricity, for their food. And they are applying the social distancing as and where possible. But the more we can formalize this, I think the more that this, the social distancing and the right health and safety measures will be in place while people are working. But I want to say we're facing a very big challenge, and we don't have sufficient funds versus a lot of the other markets. But that being said, the fact that we've got this accelerated move to working digitally really enables emerging markets and countries like South Africa with a phenomenal opportunity to provide services to other markets, which we weren't in a position to provide previously. So that won't come immediately. It'll come in time, but this accelerated digitalization really enables us to focus on opportunities like that. And we're seeing that in the medium-sized entrepreneurs that we worked with today, they are growing. There are many of them that are growing rapidly, albeit these tough economic conditions.
So you heard it right there. That was us with Alison Collier, who is the Managing Director of Endeavor South Africa, which offers management consulting services to small and medium businesses in and around South Africa. Just giving us some highlights just around what's going on in that particular space. They cater to businesses that are an average size of about 200 million rand. She's just telling us that as tough as things are, there are a number of South African businesses, particularly in their network, that have been able to adapt, shift, change, collaborate, flex, and actually have somewhat of a good impact on society given the crisis that's going on right now. Highlighting Sweep South and its turn towards cleaning corporate environments versus households, just to adapt and to make sure that the people that they employ are have a job, and also serve the greater good of making sure that people that are going back to work have good clean environments to work on. She does highlight the fact that the level of funding is a bit less in South Africa compared to other markets, but that local businesses have been able to do very well with what they have.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Finally, a show that has more of a positive note. Yes, 102, obviously you can't escape what's going on with COVID-19 on that negative front. But it's just nice to see that there are businesses that have been able to flex, that have been able to change, businesses that are all working together to make sure that a particular industry is supported, and to make sure that everyone at the end of all of this comes out a bit stronger. And I think that sort of highlights one of the things about the economy, that as opportunity perhaps gets crushed in one area, it sort of opens up in another area. Because on the one end, when you look at the Sweep South example, I really like that because it's a nice, simple example. It's something that's tangible. It's a service that a lot of people use. But just seeing that quick shift really cements in your mind that on one end, the door towards cleaning households, etc., that opportunity has sort of gone down quite significantly. Perhaps people don't want to let people into their homes, the social distancing, all of these different factors that people might be considering on that front. But At the same time, you're now opening up opportunity on the other side in the corporate sector, where you have companies and businesses that need to be able to provide their employees, their staff, with good, clean working environments, so that you protect against the spread of infection and stuff like that. So it's been good on that end. Another interesting business that I've personally interacted with recently is one called Beauty on Tap, that is run by a young entrepreneur. Her name is Matebe Molise. It's called Beauty on Tap, and basically they provide a lot of beauty products. They also have some clothing offerings, but I remember a conversation with her recently, and she was saying that because of what's going on with the lockdowns, they've actually seen that because a lot of women don't have access to hair salons, for example, their business has actually seen good growth because people are now exploring doing things at home, perhaps, treating their hair, doing their hair at home, and that has been good for them. So there's opportunities, there are ways to change businesses, and I think that's been good. And, just highlighting the fact that think creatively and you might be able to find yourself some new opportunities during this is a very, very difficult time. So that's been it for today's edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. And then on Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can also review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself, Mudiwa Gavaza, and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.